Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right. Happy Thursday, guys. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He is Paul Gallant. Our producer is the wonderful Sean Mapes, and we're rolling along on this Thursday. How you doing, Paul?
I don't know what I am.
Oh.
Do I exist? I'm just kidding.
Usually
I'm fine.
People just say, I'm good.
I know. I'm trying to be difficult. Is that fun?
Yeah. No. Nah, it's super fun.
Yeah, I whiffed on that
But we're good. We're hanging in there. Life is good. I'm still on my parents' couch. Polly G is holding it down in studio. And we're talking shocker about Paul's Lord and Savior.
Oh yeah.
Tom Brady.
You see the shirt I'm
Jesus
today?
Christ. No, I did see that.
Well, I mean, you know, Tom Brady, you know, won a Super Bowl down 28-3. I've never seen Jesus do that, so just saying. I'm wearing my Tom Brady Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey, so it's like a very dashing Tom Brady, but he's Bucko Bruce. So yeah, I'm wearing that in solidarity with my guy who's getting what he wants. He didn't want Bruce Arians there anymore. He wanted
a month ago, Tom Brady was out. Bruce Arians was staying. When I was at the NFL Combine, Paul, Bruce Arians was kind of chippy at the press conference in regards to Tom Brady. Now, as of last night, Bruce Arians has stepped aside as head coach. He will take a front office role. Todd Bowles will move over to the head coaching position. My theory on this, because I'm a conspiracy theorist, for the most part, I think it was genuine. I think Bruce Arians was genuinely thinking of, and I think you disagree with me on this, I think he was thinking of hanging it up anyway. I think he's doing Todd Bowles a solid because Todd Bowles inherits a really good situation with Tom Brady coming back. But obviously, there were some reports that Tom Brady wasn't feeling it with Arians.
I think there's truth in between what both of us had as our initial thoughts. Because your initial thought was he's handing it over to Todd Bowles. And my initial thought was Brady just clipped him. He just sent him in a room. He's Robert De Niro in Goodfellas. And he's trying to get Lorraine Bracco to like come into the clothing store. Hey, Bruce, come here. You know, I got something to show you. Okay, come here. But ultimately, I think it's probably somewhere in between. I think Brady was getting tired of working with Bruce. And I based that off of a couple of tweets that were put out there by Rich Ohnberger, who had been suggesting essentially that there were times where Brady and Byron Leftwich were working on the game plan and Arians would show up late and he would say, no, I want to do things this way. And also, it did feel like there was a little bit of friction. There were rumors about Brady potentially trying to force his way out with a trade to San Francisco, maybe a trade forcing himself to Miami. Like all of these things were potentially on the table. And when Bruce Arians, as you mentioned, Vanessa, at the Combine, was confronted with them, this is what he had to say about whether or not Brady's actually going to stay retired.
Surprised if he did eventually decide to come back.
Yeah, because of the reasons he retired.
Do you find it odd at all that he hasn't really firmly slammed the door shut?
He slammed it shut when I talked to him. So I think a lot of these guys, I'd like to have his name out there.
See, here's the thing with Arians. Arians doesn't have much of a filter. He shoots from the hip, which is definitely entertaining. And I actually used to enjoy that a lot. I moved to Seattle, and my perspective on Arians changed a little bit because Seattle, for whatever reason, as a city, just despises Bruce Arians. It's one of the weird dynamics of a sports
town.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. I never went all the way the same way that they did because I was like, okay, but I mean, he's still a plus coach in this league. He's not a great coach, but he's a good coach in this league. You don't like a guy who is pretty forward thinking, who is doing a lot of things that are probably good long term for coaching in terms of giving guys opportunities that you probably wouldn't see get opportunities, giving women opportunities in sports. Like,
yeah,
he's doing things that I think are long term going to be good for the game, but I feel like that moment right there, Vanessa, and some of the other moments where he was at press conferences, he would sometimes publicly step on Tom Brady in a way that Bill Belichick never would publicly. Privately, Belichick would rip Brady to shreds, but publicly, he never did that. And I can see how, after working with one person for 20 years, someone who, you know, let's be honest, Belichick, as far as coaches go, it would be essentially like if I somehow got a date with Margot Robbie. It was all downhill from there. Like, no matter what I do the rest of my life, I am not going to meet some beautiful woman with an Australian accent on the same level. You know, all the things that I want.
Now we know what you're thinking about during the show.
Yes, 100%. I'm sorry. I can't help myself. Bonk, bonk. I'm getting older. The testosterone's going down, but the thoughts don't go away. Whatever. I think that's kind of where Brady was at with Arians compared to Belichick. And here's the thing. Brady's probably never going to be happy with whatever coach he has. I'm sure that he likes the working relationship that he has with Byron Leftwich. That's why Leftwich is sticking around as offensive coordinator. And we'll see what Bowles does as head coach. I like Bowles the first year that he was the head coach of the New York Jets, for what it's worth. They went 10-6. But I feel like Brady did a lot of pushing here, even though the public story is that, oh, Bruce is just stepping aside and we're just moving on down the
That's road. The public story. And I think that there's a really, really high possibility, and maybe we'll find this, you know, out in a few years, that the Tampa Bay brass just sat Bruce Arians down and said, look, we can do this and paint it as a couple of different narratives. But one of the possibilities is that you come across as the good guy that helped get a minority coach a head job. You come across as the guy that stepped aside on your terms. You put out nice quotes. Oh, and by the way, you're still going to get paid because we're going to give you a nice little cushy front office position. Tom Brady's going to write you a really nice note on Instagram. And the narrative is in your favor. And if you're Bruce Arians and the alternative to that is that you got fired because Tom Brady came back, I know what option I'm picking. So I think that there are a lot of different possibilities as to what happened here. But Bruce Arians retiring last night at the 11th hour, and Todd Bowles will take over from defensive coordinator to head coach of the Bucs.
Yep, and I feel like Tampa Bay now is in this spot where they believe that they can keep doing what they've done the last 2 years, but we'll see. I mean, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that just because the rest of the NFC is in a spot right now where it really does feel like it's just Green Bay, L.A., and the Bucs, I don't know that they're going to be the same team that they've been the last couple of years for a third straight season. You know, I think one of the things that Brady might have gotten pissy at Bruce Arians about might have been how Arians handled that Antonio Brown situation on the sideline. Because I think Arians just told him, like, get the hell out of here. And honestly, every single person probably in the United States of America outside of Tom Brady is in agreement with Bruce Arians on that front. Antonio Brown's a terrible person. But I wonder if Brady was like, well, are we going to be able to win without Antonio Brown? And I actually do kind of wonder about that going forward. Their offense was a lot different without Antonio Brown down the stretch. And, you know, the team's now a year older. I get that they're, you know, trying to do their best to keep everything afloat. But if you just keep on having the same roster for a couple of years in a row, eventually that team will decline and decline pretty quickly.
Speaking of Antonio Brown, his antics continue. Now, he didn't do anything too crazy except for the fact that he says that he wants to come back to the league, but he's now told teams he won't get ankle surgery until he has an obligation or a commitment from a team, to which Mike Florio and Chris Sims brought up on their NBC Sports radio show that most likely Antonio Brown won't get signed unless he gets surgery. So another weird Antonio Brown story making its way
to the
public.
You think he's ever going to play
again? I think that once you make Tom, I think once you piss off Tom Brady and once you betray Tom Brady, and Tom Brady let Antonio Brown stay in his house. Now, granted, he has a mansion. It's not like Antonio Brown was sleeping on his kid's couch, but he let Antonio Brown stay with him. He took a huge risk, and then Antonio Brown took his shirt off, and the night before, if you remember the crazy story about the TikTok lady that licks toilets, Antonio Brown had told her that he was going to do that the next day, so it seemed like it was quote-unquote premeditated. I think once you piss off Tom Brady and Tom Brady can't make it work with you, I think that it's an automatic hands, you know, you got to wipe your hands clean of that. So I don't see him getting another job in the league.
Got to wipe your hands clean, too, when you use a toilet.
Ugh.
Like that lady. I don't know if she did that. Yeah, I'm with you, but look at the Packers right now.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they throwing to?
Right.
Hey, look, a ham sandwich. Hey, look, a cheese sandwich. You know, nothing against those wide receivers, but the Alan Lazard show is not going to be enough for Aaron Rodgers just based off of what we saw this past season. You know, they lost not just Davante Adams, they lost Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who's a really good deep threat for them. So I could see the Packers eventually talking themselves into Antonio Brown. I would advise against it. I don't know how Brown would do in a place like Green Bay. Maybe he would do better. I know he went to college in, I believe, Central Michigan.
It would be the most Aaron Rodgers thing ever for Aaron Rodgers to genuinely get along with Antonio Brown and like him. That would
Antonio, want to go get some enemas? Want to go out in the wilderness and have a vision quest, man? Look, we can read Atlas Shrugged, and we can, talk about the do's and don'ts of vaccinations. Like, look, I respect you. You had a vaccination that was fake. You know,
they both did have vaccine controversies. To your
they
point,
they did. Brown with Aaron Rodgers, it was like some sort of stand. With Brown, who knows why he didn't get it, but it was pretty funny that he tried to just fake it entirely.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, there have been a lot of crazy stories this offseason in the NFL. But what was the craziest? We give you our takes, and we certainly want to hear yours. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Vanessa, we got something to give away right now. How about that?
Do we? Let's give it away.
All right. Give it away. Give it away. Give it away. Yeah. Is that a song? Oh, I don't know. Was that terrible? Yes, it was.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. It was fine. I like you being nice to me. We have four packs of tickets to give away to the Montan Roulet Cajun Throwdown. We're going to be giving away 12 of the 25 four packs of tickets this week. One giveaway per show per day. The annual Montan Roulet Cajun Throwdown features world-class Cajun cuisine. It'll be an exciting weekend with a crawfish cook-off, Cajun cuisine, awesome Louisiana Cajun music, and a great family atmosphere. The Montan Roulet Cajun Throwdown is going to take place the weekend of April 8th through 9th. What? I'm saying it with proper pronunciation. At the Good Old Days Fairgrounds in Hitchcock, Texas. I know I'm going to be there on the Friday, which is the 8th. So caller number 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You're getting a four-pack of tickets to the Bonton Roulet Cajun Throwdown.
You sound like half the people that call in our show that are from, like, the Louisiana area.
Right. I mean, the French accent and Louisiana accent sound exactly the same, said no one ever.
Yeah. All right. Crazy stories of the offseason. I can't really say anything that's going to sound politically correct.
Oh, I want you to hear it. Skill, you're gonna dump on the hey, Paul, you stupid frog. Shut up. Shut up and talk
you
sports.
You are very white, very Irish, and very much from Boston. So but, I just, so the accent was rough.
Well, what's my last, that was a legitimate French accent. I speak French. I'm French Canadian. My name.
Oh, are you really?
My name is Paul Maurice Gallant. Yes, I'm like, my name is as French as it gets. Seriously.
I forgot your middle name was Maurice.
Maurice Gallant, oui. Mon grand-père sont Maurice as well. Yes, and yes, I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole of talking Monty Python. I'll stop talking now.
Oh, God. All right. Speaking of crazy, because my co-host is.
Yes.
There were a lot of NFL stories that were crazy in the offseason. People that have covered the NFL for 40 years have said that it was the craziest offseason ever, from Aaron Rodgers admitting that he went on a diet that made him, like, poop and vomit a lot to – the Tyreek Hill trade, Deshaun Watson getting $230 million guaranteed. There was a lot of insanity. Paul, what to you the craziest story?
The way you described the Rodgers one. I mean, maybe we should be talking more about Aaron Rodgers.
He did the enema.
It was so casual. Like, yeah, he was puking and pooping all off season.
I mean, I have irritable bowel disease, so it's not that I knock people that do those things a lot, but he did it voluntarily, which blows my mind.
It blew his digestive tract, too, that's for sure. So I think number one's got to be Russell Wilson getting traded, because I just didn't expect it to happen. I really thought that Seattle would say, no, We're kicking the can down the road for one more season. We still have Pete Carroll. What's the benefit when you don't have an avenue to the next quarterback of trading trading Russell Wilson? Like, what's the benefit? What's the short-term gain here? What's the long-term gain here? Because he goes to Denver, and Denver's going to give the Seahawks a top 10 pick this year, number 9, if I'm not mistaken. But after that, what are you doing that really helps you out in the short term? It feels like they're pressing the reset button, and Pete Carroll's 70 years old, so it just doesn't make any sense from the Seahawks'
perspective. So even though he was complaining about wanting to get out and being passive-aggressive about it, you still thought that he would stay there?
I always thought they could have figured something out. I guess the other thing is, Vanessa, that the Seahawks don't think Russell Wilson is as good or will be as good as he used to be. And they decided, okay, well, we're going to get to a contract negotiation at some point down the road. It's probably not going to go according to plan. He is going to either get the franchise tag and not play, or get the franchise tag and continue to whine, and then potentially not play well the coming season. So let's just move on from him. And now I think you're starting to see teams that realize it's going to be difficult to sign someone to an extension, with Devontae Adams to Vegas, with Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins. Desperate teams will be willing to take on a quarterback or a wide receiver and pay them that contract. So you may as well get something in return for this player that you think is going to walk, as opposed to getting like a compensatory pick a year and a half later.
Some of the people on Twitch have chimed in. Somebody said Matt Ryan trade creates largest dead cap hit in NFL history. That was crazy. Christian Kirk getting paid $18 million was bananas. My pick for the craziest offseason storyline was just the absolute explosion of the AFC West through additions. The Broncos adding DJ Jones, Randy Gregory, Russell Wilson. The Chargers adding Khalil Mack, JC Jackson. Raiders adding Devontae Adams, Chandler Jones, Rocky Sin. A lot of additions to the AFC West that just are going. It's crazy to think that one of those teams will not most likely be in the playoffs. It's insane.
Yeah. I mean, it is possible for four teams to make
it's absolutely
the playoffs
possible.
From one division.
Absolutely possible. Very likely.
Could it happen? I mean, it would involve a lot of cannibalism amongst those teams, and maybe none of them would be anywhere close to getting the one seed. But, I mean, if there was ever a year to say, yeah, this is it, I think that this would be it. I guess if I have to pick a team that's probably not going to make it, I'd probably point at Denver. I'd probably point at the Denver Broncos.
Then again, you're a Russell Wilson hater, so.
True, but I mean, it's with valid reasons. It's not just like the off the field stuff. It's annoying. But like on the field, I do have questions about this coming season. Like, I think there's a great chance he starts off the season on fire, and that in the second half of the year, he falls back on the same habits that he's fallen back on the last couple of years, you know? So I guess I'm in this weird spot where I don't know what to make of Denver. Their defense wasn't as good as a lot of people are saying it was last year. That's at least what conventional wisdom is from the like real smart people that cover football, smarter than me. So, but it's going to be a hell of a season. That's for damn sure. And now those late window games on CBS, I'm going to want to tune into them.
I will say this. I think that Russell Wilson is way past his prime, to your point. So if there's one team that's not going to make it there, I could definitely see that being the case. Honorable mentions for the craziest story. Aaron Rodgers stays with Green Bay after, what, a year and a half of complaining? The one right here in Houston that got transferred to Cleveland, which is Deshaun Watson's contract and 11th hour decision to re-include Cleveland. And then the Tyreek Hill trade.
Yeah, the Tyreek Hill trade, to me, it's just so strange that Kansas City does that while the rest of the division stacks up. The Chiefs are like, yeah, we're fine. We'll find somebody else, and they bring in Marquez Valdes-Scantling to replace Tyreek Hill. That's a very interesting word. That's not something that is going to happen. This is a funny one on Twitch, Vanessa, from Cougar Blaze. How about the Commanders getting a washed-up quarterback?
Oh, God.
They got
that is not That's not necessarily crazy, though, because that's very on brand for Washington.
Yeah,
the
that's true.
Or, excuse me, not the Redskins, the Commanders and the racist way that they operate. That's,
sheesh.
Yeah.
You can't
okay,
say
that's
that.
Hard to get out of the habit of saying. I know. And you know what's really bad about that is that that's an actual racial slur. Mm-hmm. Like, at least Indians and Chiefs and Braves and Seminoles is not a slur.
Yeah.
I always feel bad when I slip up because that is an actual slur. So, well, yes, the Washington Commanders got a washed up quarterback.
Commanders is hard to remember. Like, Washington, I struggled not to say Washington football team, because Washington football team, like, eventually it rolled off the tongue. But now, yeah, the Commanders. Carson Wentz and the Commanders. And then you, like, insert another, God, like, terrible quarterback. Marcus Mariota and the Falcons. It's next. NFL on Fox. And they have, like, the worst broadcast team for that matchup.
Yeah, King of Twitch on Houston, Texas on our thing says the same thing. He says, yeah, that's what the Commanders do. They just have a really, really bad football team and really bad organization. So Carson Wentz going there and the Colts dumping the whole contract on them was not very shocking to me at all, because it's not going to benefit them, I don't think.
No.
And it's going to be yet another dumb football decision that they make at the end of the day. But yeah, very, very crazy offseason.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. The guy that breaks a lot of that news, Adam Schefter, it was just announced a couple of minutes ago, reaches a multi-year extension with ESPN. He'll continue his year-round multi-platform presence. Remember, there were some rumors he may be going to, like, one of the sports gambling or the Athletics. So he'll remain a staple, says ESPN, on Sunday NFL Countdown, Monday Night Countdown, and NFL Live. He has been with ESPN since 2009. He's the moneymaker.
All right. So, you know, more ass-kissing of agents. And
yeah,
more
apologies after saying, yeah, after wording tweets in insensitive manners. Right. I like Adam. He's always been nice.
I don't have a problem with Adam. Like, Adam did block me for a while. Adam on TV sometimes gets a little bit hyperbolistic, and I called him out for it once. That's why I got blocked. But I think, and I could be wrong on this, but I feel like the one and only John McClain might have been the one that actually got me out of the doghouse with Schefter. Did you see that today over at the Chronicle? John McClain, he's stepping down as
Texas
beat writer. Yeah.
John McClain is one of the nicest human beings.
He's not really
only is he sweet. One of the best journalists ever in sports. He's literally in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's covered Houston sports for 40-some years.
47, yeah. That's 47 nuts.
Years. He's just a really good person. He was one of the first men to be really accommodating to women and minorities, so I've been told. Helping women use the bathroom when it was an all-men's locker room. Just a really, really A-plus person. So congrats to John. We love him.
I'm really happy for him. I remember I used to get into radio arguments with him, and it always drove me crazy how calm and collected he would stay in an argument. Because you know me, like, when I go off the handles, I'm like, blah, 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 and McClain would just laugh.
And get very angry.
Yeah, I do. Well, it's like an entertaining version of angry,
yeah,
right? You know, it's sort of, it's, uh-huh. You laugh. You're not even serious when you say that. But I always was struck by that. And he, again, same thing. Like, I came into the city, I didn't know anyone, I didn't know anything, and took me under his wing, told me things that I need to know, and tells some incredible stories. So I'm definitely going to miss seeing him in the Houston Chronicle. And, best wishes to him. It must be fun to retire. Wonder if I'll ever get to do that.
I don't think our generation will ever retire, but certainly wishing John McClain the best and excited to see what he does, because I think he's still, I hope, going to be around the sports world in some capacity, but we'll see. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, opening day is in a week, and Brian Cashman is on that BS from the Yankees. No shocker there. That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Paul can hear me typing because we're looking at each other over Zoom while I do the show remotely, and he heard me aggressively typing.
I heard you typing, and then I came up with a really original song. Type, 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 type. to the tune of this song. And it was really
Misery
good.
Misery Business by Paramore. Yeah, it was really, really good.
Is that who it's by? I wouldn't know.
Yeah, Paramore.
I wouldn't know.
Misery Business.
Misery
See,
Business.
See, you had an angsty phase, but you don't know. I can't believe you don't know the song.
There's so much music I don't know. I'm sorry.
That's like, true.
I really wish I knew more. It's very shameful.
You're better with movies, though, than I am.
Movies, like you, yes. Movies.
You are better with movies. I will give you that.
Movies, TV shows, that is my bread and butter.
Yeah.
100%.
People say something to me about like The Godfather. I'm like, I've never seen The Godfather or Star Wars or Star Trek or The Shining. Like, just don't talk to me about movies.
I've never seen The Shining, actually, but all those other ones I have seen. And I don't hate on people who haven't seen those movies, but my problem is people are like, well, you have. You never heard this music. I'm like, I'm sorry. Don't hurt me. Don't hurt my feelings, you know? I'm trying to do my best. I'm a work in progress. That's all I am.
You are. Your therapist must say that a lot.
Mm. I actually have to have my first meeting with my therapist yet. It's been a couple months. You know.
I didn't know you actually had one.
Whatever.
Just a joke. But
what's wrong with seeing a therapist? You know,
nothing. Yeah. Nothing at all. My mom's a therapist.
Oh, there you go.
We love therapists.
Oh, see, I could have gotten it for free then. Damn it.
Opening day. Hey, 1 week from today, after the MLB lockout, we were not sure that this day would come, but alas, a week from today, opening day happens for the Houston Astros. They're not actually at Minute Maid Park until about April 18th, so it's going to be a while before you can see them at home. But exciting to have baseball back, Pauly G.
Baseball. Yes, it's the great American sport. I'm excited that it's back. It's been, I'll be honest, tough to, you know, try and force yourself to watch the Rockets on a nightly basis. Jalen Green's making progress, that's for sure. But when you realize that this year is all about what's going to happen this summer, where the Rockets are going to pick this summer, you want to get to a sport where there's actually some consequence taking place.
Some hope.
And especially when you're coming off of the Texans season where, you know, they are who they are too. They're clearly in the midst of a build, if not a rebuild. So, yeah, I'm excited. I want to get this thing started, and I want to see what they're going to be able to do. It's going to be tough. I mean, five straight American League Championship Series. We're not going to be happy with anything less than a World Series appearance. And even then, with them making the World Series last year and losing, then what are you really going to be made happy by? I think anything short of a World Series is a failure for this team.
I agree with you. Brian Cashman apparently doesn't think that he's done any failing and that he's the best GM that the New York Yankees have ever had.
Mm-hmm.
He did an article with The Athletic and gave an interview. Now, keep in mind, the Yankees haven't been great in a hot second. They're seeking their first championship since 2009, and that is not the norm for Yankees. Brian Cashman highlighted, of course, the Astros and made them out to be the scapegoat. In a recent interview, he said, quote, the only thing that stopped us from winning the pennant in 2017 was something that was so illegal and horrific. The drama, Brian Cashman told The Athletic, quote, so I get offended when I start hearing we haven't been to the World Series since 2009 because I'm like, well, I think we actually did it the right way. Pulled it down, brought it back up, drafted well, traded well, developed well, signed well. The only thing that derailed us was a cheating circumstance that threw us off, end quote. Give me a break for all things Yankees in general, but especially Brian Cashman having this just victim complex series when we know that the Yankees' hands have not always been clean either.
No, and look, forget all the cheating stuff. When did the Yankees, the once proud Yankees, become whiners? They used to be this boogeyman that if you beat them 1 year, they would come back in the sequel and kill you. That was what they did. And on top of that, they would lure your best players away and sign them to massive contracts. And they wouldn't even care at the back end of those contracts when those players stopped being the guys that they once were. And they have changed over the past decade to a team that is second fiddle in their own division to the Boston Red Sox and a team that whines. You know, Yankee teams of the past, they would have been upset about 2017, don't get me wrong, but that was the first year of a young baseball team that should have accomplished something by now. And Cashman hasn't been able to do anything that's made the Yankees better in the years since. The players haven't been what they need to be. they have blamed managers for that, but they've never blamed Brian Cashman. This is Brian Cashman being defensive about the job that he has not done.
This is Cashman, I think, realizing that he's closer to being on the hot seat than he'd like to admit. I think Yankees fans are frustrated not only with the situation with Gerrit Cole once they cracked down on sticky stuff, and Gerrit Cole, who is a huge investment, has not been able to produce. I think Cashman knows that he can elicit some feelings and maybe even a little bit of sympathy and empathy if he brings up the fact that in his mind they were so close if it weren't for those cheating Astros.
He's been general manager and senior vice president of the Yankees since 1998.
That's insane.
And props to him for a pretty successful career. Helps to have the kind of budget that the Yankees have because of their YES Network, because of their valuation as well. They're the most valuable franchise in baseball. It's not close. They are the one probably global brand that is in baseball. You know, like the Dodgers aren't, the Red Sox aren't. It's the Yankees. That's the hat that you see across the pond, if you will. You don't see other hats there. And this team has just stuck with Cashman for all of this time, despite not winning a World Series since 2009. The old Yankees would have fired him. The old Yankees would have moved on. Would that have been the right move? I don't know, but they're not scary anymore. This team with pinstripes that has no one with facial hair that's so disciplined. Like, to me, this is just more whining on their part, and I just find it lame. Grow a spine. Be the Yankees of old, because every Yankee that has played before for that team is looking at these guys and thinks they're a bunch of soft babies, I bet.
How much does it kill the Yankees that the Red Sox are doing so well?
Oh, it must kill them a lot, you know? It's all changed in 2004. I mean, the Red Sox have won four World Series since 2004, and the Yankees have won one. And, I mean, 2004 is the greatest collapse in baseball history.
Absolutely.
You know, Yankees up 3-0. That was a fun moment for me as a sports fan, I'm not going to lie. But it's embarrassing. I think, look, just can they move on? Can you move on already? Can you focus on yourself? Like, 2017 was 5 years ago. It would be one thing if it was last year. I wouldn't mind it, honestly. If we're talking about it last year, we're still in the wake of the scandal. It was 5 bleeping years ago, guys. Like, okay, maybe you were cheated, but what does complaining about it do? Like, they're going to take the trophy away from the Astros and give it to you?
Well, what we've heard from a lot of people in and around baseball is that everybody was cheating. The Astros just did it better. Kids, I'm not saying that's a life lesson, but I'm also not saying it's not a life lesson. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we put a bow on a Thursday. The slap heard around the world continues to cause controversy, plus a celebrity canceling a concert for a March Madness game. That's next.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, I think it's annoying, but it is still relevant because people are still talking about it. The slap heard around the world when Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. You brought up something interesting, Paul. There's a slapping champion.
We're sticking to sports here. We're talking about it, but we're talking about a sporting event.
Yes, we are.
Did you know that there is a male slapping champion and that 2019 male slapping champion who goes by the name of Gamutsky? He only has one name, which means he must be super legit, sort of like all those soccer players.
Right.
And he was 100%. Yes. And he was 100% unimpressed by the Chris Rock slap. Should I read this voice without a fake, possibly terrible, borderline offensive, xenophobic Russian accent?
Yeah. No Xenophobia or whatever.
Xenophobia. Okay.
Well, none of that. Just read it normally.
I kind of want to say it with a Russian accent, though.
But you're not Russian.
Well.
At all.
Sometimes I pretend to be Russian. Fine. It was
French
a weak blow. He didn't put his body into it. And he struck from top to bottom. You need to strike from the bottom up, or at least from the side. This is my favorite part of the quote. In general, he hit like a girl, just like they hit in all American movies. That's offensive to Americans. What? You think all the movies that we have, all the slaps, all the punches are fake? Mr. Kamotsky with your one name? But listen, professional slapper, he's a big dude. I think he knows a thing or two about slapping. Like he is a lot of human being.
I mean, does he get paid to slap people? How are you a professional slapper? I've never even heard of this.
It's a great question.
Sounds like he won a slapping contest at a state fair and then gave himself a one name like Seal type of deal.
Well, in Russia, like Seal. It's
like,
really
do we even
funny.
Know Seal's last name? I have no idea.
That's his last name.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a bunch of syllables.
Klum was his last name because his wife made more money than him for a while. But
I still have that cassette tape. It was my first ever music, Vanessa.
I'm so shocked by that.
I listened to that all the time. It was entirely for that one song, and I would rewind it on my tape cassette player to go play "Kissed by a Rose" over and over again. That was my favorite song when I was a kid.
That actually explains a lot. And I appreciate you telling me that.
Kamuski thinks Chris Rock's a little weenie when he
gets
slapped.
I was listening to Def Leppard and you were listening to Seal. All right, so the Academy of Motion Pictures, they may suspend him. My understanding is it's not for the slap as much as the fact that I guess he wouldn't leave this. Will Smith would not leave the ceremony when afterwards. I just think that most celebrities are entitled. So when I heard this, I was like, yeah, this adds up. Probably didn't want to leave.
Yeah, I mean, good luck getting him to leave too. There's certain people that I don't think you can order them to do anything in our country. I don't think you would be able to get away with telling a Kardashian what to do either. I feel like you could tell them, hey, you have to do things this way. Sorry, we don't want to kick you out, but you did slap someone in the face, so we sort of by default have to. And I think that people like Will Smith, the Kardashians, others, they can get away with this. They know they can get away with it too. And it's just really funny, Vanessa, going back, circling back to the whole thing. Like, you notice how everyone was applauding him when he came back on stage to give his speech for winning Best Actor, and he's just completely unhinged, talking about how he's a vessel of love and how he...
Yeah, it was dumb. And I will say, this is the one that made me think that it was not...
Real?
This is the thing that made me think it was not pre-planned, because once I heard that they actually asked him to leave, it told me that it was not like a thing set up by the Oscars. I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, I think most celebrities are entitled. Speaking of entitled celebrities, I love Eric Church. I love Eric Church. He's amazing in concert. He's a great singer. You're not as much of a country guy.
He's a country guy. Okay.
Yeah. He's a
country
singer.
The name is familiar.
He canceled one of his concerts. He is a lifelong UNC fan. And for those of you that live under a rock and don't follow March Madness, UNC is playing Duke. It's a heated rivalry. It's the first time it'll ever happen in the NCAA tournament. So if you're a UNC or a Duke fan, if you're a diehard, you obviously want to be there. Eric Church canceled one of his concerts that he had planned for the night so that he can go to the UNC Duke game.
Mm. Wow. So you're not a fan of this?
No, I'm actually not. Here's why. Because people have to plan for babysitters. People have to plan. Like, I just think it's really selfish. And the other thing is that if he wasn't planning on being off this night, he obviously didn't believe in UNC enough.
Mm.
Like, if you believe in University of North Carolina Tar Heels, if you're that much of a diehard fan, then you should believe that they're going to make it to the Final Four, and you should not schedule a concert that night.
I don't know, though, Vanessa. I mean, Huey Davis is in his first year. This is the first and possibly only time, given how much success these two programs have had, that these two teams are going to meet in the Final Four. And if you've ever been to a Final Four with your team in attendance, it is one of the coolest things that I've ever been a part of. I don't blame him on this one.
So what do you think he should have done? Because in my mind, just giving people a refund for tickets is not enough.
I think that you have to schedule another trip to San Antonio, which is where the concert's taking place. Mm-hmm. Do you blame him for not wanting to go to San Antonio?
I've never been to San Antonio.
I know. I drove through it once. I don't I didn't really want to stop. I was stuck in traffic, which made me hate it a lot more.
I'm very much a, like, honor your commitments, especially when other people are having to arrange their schedule and spend money.
That is 100% true. And I'm sure that he's going to have to give them some of the money back along the way. Otherwise, this would be totally messed up. But I respect the sports fan in him for this. No, this means he's a legit fan. He's not one of those bandwagon riders who's like, oh, yeah, like you are in a situation that you will never potentially see your team in again. And he is prioritizing that over his job. Like, that's a real sports fan. Yeah. I don't want to go to work. I'm going to go bail on my job and go to a game instead. It's not a great look. I'm with you there, but this has been an incredible run, and UNC might be able to end Duke's end Coach
Mike
K's
Krzyzewski's,
career.
I know.
For the
I
second
totally,
straight time.
And
know?
I love Mike Krzyzewski, and I understand the storylines that surround this, and I understand that, but my God, my guy should have been planning on UNC being in the Final Four and not scheduled a concert for the last week of March. I'm sorry.
He did say in his apology, this is also the most selfish thing I've ever asked the choir, and I guess his fans.
He calls them the church choir. Yeah, his fans are called the church choir. That's, get it, Eric Church.
That is cute. To give up your
now,
Saturday
I
night
say
plans.
All of this. Will I see him in concert again? Yes,
you will. What's his
yeah,
hit song?
For sure.
What's his number one?
The one that you'd probably know. Maybe Springsteen. Maybe Drink in My Hand.
I got a drink in my hand. I'm just a regular guy.
No,
yeah, that's a great
no,
song.
Just
I got a pickup truck and a dog. Like, I'm checking all the boxes of country songs.
Yeah, but he's actually one that's semi-creative. Which is why I'm so disappointed.
Low bar to the cross.
It is a low bar. Juju Smith-Schuster will not be doing TikTok now that he is with the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, Vanessa, I don't know how well you know Taylor Biscotti. But she was doing an interview with Juju Smith-Schuster. It looks like this interview was on TikTok. And she asked him the question, will you make TikToks now that you're on the Chiefs with Jackson Mahomes? And the sheer look of disgust that showed up on Juju Smith-Schuster's face, I think that Taylor Biscotti just got Juju Smith-Schuster to stop doing TikTok because he realized, oh, wow. I'm king of the same app as Jackson
yeah.
Mahomes.
Like, that's his brand.
Juju Smith-Schuster's TikToking was not hurting anybody. The hullabaloo over him dancing at midfield was a little bit over the top. But my big problem with it, Vanessa, is, and it's partly due to jealousy, I just thought that his TikTok dances were completely, like, unoriginal and untalented. Like,
do you think yours could be better?
No, I just think that anyone who dances on TikTok is an idiot. Like, I don't get why people would look at you. And he's doing it to the same song every single time, to that stupid Corvette song. And then I got a Corvette. Give me sister, man, I got the Corvette. You know, it's the same song, same dance, midfield, every single time. Like, if you actually, like, did something different, then I feel like there would be a reason to keep watching. But it's just the same thing, except for, like, he's doing it in different places. Well, if you're going to keep doing it, then do it in, like, messed up places, like, do it in the middle of a funeral or something.
Todd, the show says, don't call my daughter an idiot, Paul. We're not saying all people that do TikToks are idiots, but these are grown men that... Wait, so you think... See, I think it's fine if kids
are
TikToking.
I don't get
it,
though. Like, why are you doing it? Like,
because that's the trend. Because when we're children and teenagers, we're victims to the trends for the most part.
I know. It's bad, though. It's a bad trend. Like, parents got to step in and stop this TikTok. Hey, remember what your parents used to tell you? Hey, if your friends jump off a cliff, would you jump off the cliff, too? TikTok is the cliff, people. Stay away. It's bad. And if you become more famous than me through TikTok... I'm not jealous. That's entirely what this is all about. I'm not going to lie. I hate that people are famous on TikTok. And I'm like, damn it, I'm working hard for a living. And here I am.
You hate people that get famous easily because you hate that Annie Agar girl that did the Zoom.
Yeah, I don't know if I hate her, but I was just like, okay, it's same shtick. Same shtick.
All right, well, before tomorrow, Paul will get a TikTok. Paul will start doing
one.
Dances.
I post things on it.
You really?
Yeah, it's like random
They're probably
clips
from a of show. Your cat. Probably of your cat.
There is
right?
one of my cat. Yes.
Paul's a cat dad. All right, that puts a bow on a Thursday. This is Vanessa and Galat. Thank you to our producer Sean Mapes. You can hang with us, of course, all day on social media. Paul does a Twitch usually every day.
3:00, baby.
So we'll see you soon, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, guys. Peace.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.